morning, everybody. This is WTBR's Morning Drive. My name is Bill Sturgeon. I am going to be with you for about 55 minutes. I'm honored and privileged today to have somebody, and I mean that. I know I say sometimes, but this one I really mean from my heart. He's like, he's a really good guy. His name is Senator Paul Mark. I was his first radio interview when he ran for state. And believe it or not, he won. There you go. So anyhow, we'll be with you today. This is almost the new year. Let's bury all our old hatchets. Start the new year fresh. If you got a grudge, drop it. Because nobody's guaranteed they're going to be here at the next new year. I lost my brother. And I thank all the people who sent condolences. So many. The Thursday before Thanksgiving, we planned on him being here. So, without further ado, foie gras, soup du jour, I am honored and privileged to have with me Senator Paul Mark. Senator Mark, how are you doing today?
I'm doing all right. I'm driving back from the State House, but I'll be parked momentarily. And your opening comment, yeah, really, I really like that. Like a new year, new start,
yeah.
Start. And you mentioned your brother, and you said it the last time we were on, and still sorry to hear it. And my father's what would be his 70th birthday was just a couple of days ago, and it's like, you know, you never know. Everything changes in a heartbeat.
It absolutely does, and I mean, I just heard a sad story about a father, a son who's estranged from his mother and father, and they love him dearly. And, you know, it's why there's not my saintly Irish mother would say nothing comes above or before family. So
right.
With that, we'll move on. So listen, what'd you do last year? 2024, just kind of hang out
in 2024. Yeah. Nice. Quiet.
Yeah. Pretty much.
As normal. No, it was another, I don't want to say a challenging year. They're all challenging and they're all rewarding too. It was an eventful year. It was a busy year. There's good and bad, but you know, it's not one, put it this way. Sometimes there's years that as they come to a close, you're like, I'm really glad to see that one go. I'm not feeling that. I'm feeling cautiously hopeful about the future, even though there's a lot of tension and worry for sure, of course.
Yeah.
How about you?
Well, I'm thankful at my age. I'm thankful I made another year. Really and truly. And I'm looking forward a little bit hesitant like you to this new year. There's a lot of, you know, stuff being thrown out is going to be done. I'm a person, don't tell me what you're going to do. Show me what you've done. And you, sir, and I will say this, not for any other reason, that it's absolutely positively true. You are a man of your word. When you say you're going after something, you may not always get it in that group that you belong to, but you still swing the bat as hard as you can. And that is something I think the people of your districts need to know, because that's very important. You're not, as Tip O'Neill said, you, sir, are a workhorse, not a show horse.
Thank you. No, it's a good way to say it too, because you're right. When you make a quote unquote promise as an elected official, you're promising you're going to try. You're going to do everything you can. There's no guarantee. This is a team sport, and the greatest team every once in a while comes up short when they're supposed to win. And you cannot, no matter how great you think you are, if you're a politician, executive, legislative, or otherwise, you rely on a network of other people, from your constituents to the executive branch to the colleagues in the House and Senate. And if anyone tries to act like they alone are doing these things, they are not. They are either, they are confused, or they are being dishonest, because we all do it as a cooperative group, period. End of that story.
If I may just say this to you, sir, I do not, and this is a compliment, I do not consider you a politician. I consider you a public servant.
Oh, that's nice. I like that. That's very nice.
And I mean that. You truly are there for the people. How unique is that? I mean, I haven't even seen you on CNN.
Well, I appreciate that. I say often, like, why do this work if you're not there to do it for the people that you're representing, yeah, serving? And then, yeah, it's this is where it's that cautious, I don't know what to think moving forward. So
yeah, me too.
You know, you've mentioned it. I am a student of the law and of government and of the history of the law and how government, yeah, is to play, and democracy especially. And, you know, the famous saying, democracy is the worst system on earth except all the others. You know, right. So we're watching an experiment, and a thing I don't like that I see, and this is at most levels, this is not limited to any level of government. The people that put on the best show and, yeah, maybe make the best attraction seem to get the most attention, especially from the media. And
yeah,
that doesn't always mean they're doing the best things. Sometimes they are, but
wait, this is my surprise face.
Yeah, exactly. And you know, the media has changed even just in the time I've been in office. It's changed a lot. You mentioned you were my first radio show, and you know, there was a couple of local radio shows back then. Right. That's really changed. The North Adams Transcript was still around. Like there's a lot that's different. And I think we're watching like this social media that was certainly around in 2010, but it is really changing, and it is really changing how information gets delivered.
Yeah.
And there's a lot of self-selection. Like I even said, you know, in the election, the national election, I was pretty surprised. And I ask myself, was I looking at maybe what I wanted to look at and not really kind of feeling out a variety of sources? And I think that's happening with a lot of people. And
yes,
you know, that can lead to, I think there's something wrong, I think something's crooked, when the reality is, like, sometimes it's just I'm just watching the Instagram or whatever that is telling me what I really am hoping for.
Right. Well, I like you about I'm going to say a month before I called the election. I mean, I didn't do it grandiose on TV or anything, but I mean, in the Casa del Rio del Sturgeon, I was shared with the Polish princess that I was pretty confident that the presidential candidate Harris wasn't going to win. And that was just the way it is. I mean, I wasn't, and I don't want to get you embroiled in anything, but I wasn't real happy with the way the President Biden was treated. I understood it. I would, if I were God, I would have had a primary. I would have had a one time to do as you can primary, but I'm not God, and I'm not in the Democratic Party. I'm totally independent. I was born and raised a Democrat, and it is what it is, brother. I mean, how do I say this without getting you in trouble? I don't care anymore. So, but seriously, there should be you should all meet and talk about. Don't blame. What went wrong?
Yeah. So, from a neutral perspective, that I hope everyone can get behind this, regardless of,
yes,
what your policy preferences are. The influence of money in the election, that is bad. That is dangerous. It is getting worse every 2 to 4 years.
And, 20 billion, right?
Yeah. And
holy moly. I mean, when I was a kid, a million was like the end of the world.
Yeah.
100,000 when I was a kid.
Yeah. And I'm gonna point out, to be balanced, I'm gonna point out on one side, there is a person who has so much money that he subverts all campaign finance laws that Congress, bipartisan Congress, has put into place many, many decades ago. And this one person put in, I think it's upwards of $250 million to influence in an election, and then also owns what used to be called Twitter. I mean, that's a problem. And just again, in the interest of, I represent all the people.
Yeah.
The vice president raised $1 billion. So like she was not missing out on getting this money.
Right.
And if you think about it, so many years ago, Congress passed a law limiting how much any one person can donate because it looks really corrupt. And the way that law has been interpreted, and various laws have been interpreted by the courts over the last 50 years, has created these loopholes that you can spend these unlimited amounts of money as long as you're not giving it directly to the candidates. And, you know, it's really bad. It's really bad. If anyone listening now, I'm going to assume people in Pittsfield like me because I got 76% of the vote in Pittsfield. So thank you. I appreciate you.
They do like you because you do the job. And you, here's the other thing. You truly are transparent and you truly are a person of integrity.
Well, I will
go to my
that.
Grave defending that. Defending you about that.
I appreciate that. And here's the problem. I can't raise that kind of money, you know? So
yeah, well, I sent you $3. It's all in change. It was hard getting it in the end.
Everyone that sends me $25, $50, whatever it is, you know, that means so much to me. When I was, I can barely do it now. You know, I couldn't donate $100 to anyone. Never mind millions. I mean, so if you look at this system where we're all supposed to have one person, one vote, one voice, and we're all supposed to be equal, and under our constitution, you know, there's equal protection, and you can't be equal if one person or a very small group of people, regardless of their party affiliation, can spend millions. They have an outside influence. There is no way to discredit that. Now in Massachusetts, it's a little different. We can do things a little bit differently. We have a limit of $1,000 that anyone can donate.
Yeah.
We have like a lobbyist. A lobbyist can't buy me a cup of coffee. Like it's that strict. And a corporate entity cannot give anyone like a direct contribution. So so like
pretty stringent.
We're pretty stringent. It's not perfect. You know, we certainly have seen before I was elected, we've seen speakers go to jail. In my time, I've seen colleagues get arrested and do bad things. Like that's as long as a legislature, as long as politics is populated by human beings, there's going to be flaws, of course.
That's exactly right.
You know, but we at this moment we don't have that other system, and as elections become more and more contested, and as lower levels of government seemingly become more important, because when the federal government, this comes and goes, becomes a little weaker or less, or you can say less hands-on, again, according to your persuasion, the states become more powerful, and so people pay attention more in the states. And so where I'm going with this is if Smitty's leaving, if you loved Smitty, if one day a billionaire decided to spend $10 million against him and just blanketing the district with negative ads, he can't fight that. You know what I mean? We can't fight that with the system the way it is. And so I would caution everyone, if you believe in democracy and you believe in the person you're voting for winning based on what you actually believe in and not a very small select group of people deciding this, you should care about campaign finance.
Oh, I'm a big remember when McCain and who was
Yes.
the other, who was the Democrat?
Feingold, and he has since lost, and McCain has since left office and has then, of course, has passed on. But yeah, Feingold then lost election,
Yeah.
as a target. Like he was as an example made of
Exactly.
it.
You nailed it. He was a target. That, to me, that legislation was, I think, very good. And I think should have been passed and enacted. But then again, the people who would pass it are the people who benefit from it. I'm sorry. I'm going to try to clean my act up. Too late for me, man. Save yourself. But I have to thank you and the entire legislature and the governor for the Heroes Act. Thank you so much.
Thank you. Yeah.
That helps me personally. And Massachusetts, now, I've said it, you know it, I've said it 100 times. If the federal government legislative body would act like the Massachusetts legislative body, we get a lot more done. But Massachusetts has always been a leader in taking care of veterans, always.
We're
So,
first in battle, first in war, first in the hearts of our country,
yeah, and really and truly, I mean, this is going to help a lot of folks out. And I thank Congressman Neal for being voting and President Biden for signing the PAC Act. I mean, that you don't know how many men and women that's helping out, from the burn pits in the first Gulf War to Agent Orange and the old fat boy meeting. Yeah, but I think we need to acknowledge when the legislature and the governor do something well, or anybody. I just said that today to somebody. I thanked this person. I said, I haven't heard that in a long time. I said, that's the problem. People are quick to jump on a bandwagon to criticize. They're not quick to jump on a bandwagon to compliment.
And that's back to like, what is newsworthy? What is newsworthy is someone screwed something up, something salacious. It's a little less newsworthy that someone went in and did a good job today, or yeah, something passed that's gonna make like someone
Somebody made my day easier. Thank you.
And a lot of the work we do is, I so like a third of it is legislating, like actually passing policy. A third of it is the budget, and then the other third is this constituent services. And so people having problems with something in government, and they don't know where to turn. And so like it feels very rewarding, even if they're not writing to the right person, that someone thinks, I have a problem with government. I think if I write to Paul, he can help me. And like that takes up a lot of our time is dedicated to just helping people with that. And there's no news stories about that. That does not get any attention,
Well, I'm going to give you some breaking news. You ready? Breaking news. You have a wonderful young man working for you. His name is Mr. Caviello.
Oh, thank you.
Yes, I go back a long way with his mom and dad and family, but he's a bright and shining star. I'm
He's a great
glad you noticed it. I mean, he's taken like you did after all the advice and counseling I gave you. He's going to law school.
I know. He it's a great story because he's from Dalton, and he's at Suffolk where I went to law school, and never knew him, know the family, but didn't know him. He happened to be in a class at Suffolk that a different member of the House of Representatives like teaches, one of those one class a year kind of things. And from that, he worked for us as an intern and did a really great job. And yeah, I had the opportunity to hire someone part-time because he's still in law school. And yeah, he's been with us, and he's wonderful. So I'm glad. Wow, thank you.
Well, no, he's a magnificent family. He's a magnificent fellow. As I said, I would have been happier if you went to medical school, but what are you gonna do? I told you the same thing, but I only kid. But that you just nailed the coin though, or nailed a very important point. And that is, staffers can make or break a good civil servant.
Oh yeah, it's getting a little better, I'll say, in terms of the pay, but like traditionally, you know, you're looking for people to be on call. Not you know, I'm on call every minute of every day, but to be on call more than 9 to 5, and to do that for not the greatest amount of money. If you broke it down hourly, traditionally, you know, it's sad. It's getting better. The Senate has really made some leaps and bounds in the last couple of years, but yeah, to do that as a staffer, you're dedicated to caring and believing in service. And right. Yeah, if your staff is bad, you're not going to look that good. And like, you have to be really discerning when you hire these people. So yeah, Anthony's done a really good job. I'm glad to have him on board.
Yeah, and you know, too, our mutual friend, representative, soon to be civilian, he finally listened. Smitty Pignatelli has a saying, and I tell people this all the time that want to go into politics. If you do your job every day, you don't have to worry about election day.
Exactly.
And you know this, you do, I don't know how many thousands of miles you put on your car. You'd be better to go back to school and get a helicopter pilot.
Yeah, no kidding.
But seriously, you're out there every day. And I think the public needs to hear this. Mm-hmm. I really do. I mean, we have a group of people. You, Smitty, who's going to be leaving, made his bones a long time ago. John Barrett, same. You may not always like the way people do things or say things or what, but they get stuff done.
Yeah.
It's not hard. It's not just Paul Mark making up his mind, oh, okay, let's sign the Heroes Act. It's all those people there. They right. have to be convinced that it's worth signing. So. Paul, I think it's important that people know how dedicated and how hard you work. Tell them about your district. How many miles is your district?
My district is, I know the exact number. It's 1,676 square miles, which means it is bigger than the state of Rhode Island. It is bigger than 30 nations of the world. It is 57 cities and towns in 4 counties. They are very different in terms of demographics, economics, you know, every aspect of life varies throughout each of these towns. And yeah, it's a lot. It's a commitment. And while I ultimately do the same job as my colleagues near Boston, we do a very, it works a very different way. You know, we don't have I was reading the story in the Boston Globe, and I forget how many, but it's like a third of my colleagues essentially have a different job that is also full-time. And I don't know even in Boston how they do it, but they do it, and that's not my concern. But yeah, no one west of Sturbridge has another full-time job. It's just, you just can't do it. And again, we're doing the same job, but the way we have to do it to get around and to meet everybody and to be accessible is just a very different time commitment. And this, anyone that's ever asked me, like, they're going to run for rep or they're going to run for senator or even city council, you know, I try to overemphasize how much of a toll it takes on your personal life, that like essentially this becomes your life, and you have to want it that way or you're not going to last.
It's to me, it's really unbelievable what all people have to go through. But let me take a break. We're here right now. I'm with Senator Paul Mark. He's a really good guy. And we'll be right back. This is WTBR 89.7 FM on your radio, though. Simulcasting on PCTV. Thank you.
Stay tuned for more Morning Drive here on WTBR FM.
Hey, it's Sean from WTBR-FM. Whether you just found this station for the first time or you've been listening for years, you might not know everything about WTBR-FM. Want to find out more? It's easy. Just go to WTBRFM.com. You can find full programming schedules, listen to the station anywhere in the world, subscribe to our podcasts, and even learn to create a program of your own. And of course, donate to the station. That's WTBRFM.com. Check it out today.
Greetings, this is John Pollock, host of The Jazz Train, which comes your way every Saturday night from 10 to 11:30. The Jazz Train generally features music recorded on a particular calendar date in years past and provides relevant commentary and discographical details. So why not join me for a ride on The Jazz Train for a weekly musical adventure, coming to you on 89.7 WTBR-FM, Pittsfield Community Radio.
You have chosen wisely.
WTBR. And now back to the morning drive on WTBR-FM, Pittsfield Community Radio.
All right, we're back. I'm here with Senator Paul Mark. Basically, we're here to wish you a happy, healthy, and prosperous new year. And Senator Mark, I have to thank him and the whole Senate and the legislature to the reps for, one, passing a tough budget time, new administration, but also thank you for the HEROES Act. It directly affects me. I'm not going to hide that. But I can't say enough good about him. So thank you for that, Senator Mark.
Thank you. Thank you for your service, and thank you for mentioning. I
really think people have to start. What do I want to say? Appreciating when the politicians that we put into office do things for us.
Right.
Yeah.
Yep. Yeah. No, I think it's true, and I say this when I get to go to speak at like a Veterans Day event. George Washington, who was the first general, the first commander in chief, the first president, he said, I'm paraphrasing it, but the ability of our nation to attract men and now women as well into our armed forces is going to be directly tied to how they think that veterans of previous wars were treated. And in Massachusetts, where the first battle of the United States Army was fought at the Battle of Bunker Hill 250 years ago this June, you know, we've been number one in returning the dedication and service to our service members, and it's important. And you know, I think people maybe in the rest of the country don't think of Massachusetts as that kind of a place, but yeah, no, that's who we are. We put our money where our mouth is.
And you're exactly right, because when I was in the service, they didn't think that Massachusetts backed any of us at all, and nothing could have been further from the truth.
Yep, yep.
We were always backed up and always, I think going back to when I took the test for civil service to go on the police department, because I was a veteran, I think I got 5 points more. And the new soldiers home, and I guess they're not calling it that anymore, but that's too bad. That's what I call it.
Yep.
I'm old. Bald, bad. But thank you for Congressman Neal doing that, the state legislature. I mean, there's just so many positive things that are done for veterans on the state level, and I thank you and all your colleagues.
Yeah, no, thank you. Yeah, the new home, I don't know what the new name of it is either, but yeah, the new soldiers home in Holyoke. I mean, that's a big commitment. And they're redoing the one in I believe it's in Chelsea as well. And our delegation in the western part a couple of years ago made sure if you're going to do the one in Chelsea, you got to do the one in Holyoke as well. So we worked together to make sure that was part of the deal. That you want us to vote for you, we're going to vote. You're going to vote for us as well, and that's part of that whole. You work together, and you have to think. My district is number one, but if I want other people to think about my district, I have to also be there for them. And you know, we collaborate. So,
yeah. So what do you think the biggest hurdles for this upcoming year are going to be legislatively?
So legislatively, I think funding is going to be a different picture. And I think there's many reasons for that. I think we've been in a couple of years of, we've had a good amount of money available to invest, and we've been cautious, but I think that's going to continue. And while we still have about, I think, $9 billion in our stabilization fund, just in case, we definitely don't want to use that haphazardly. You use that for emergencies, not for things that are going to be recurring expenses. So that's going to be a thing. We'll watch what policy decisions get made in Washington and how we have to either go our own way in Massachusetts, or, you know, take advantage if there are positives, of course. And other than that, as we go into the legislative session, which is going to begin on New Year's Day, so we don't really have a break the way people think about it. We will work up till the 31st and then get sworn in on the 1st and, you know, get moving again. As we move into the new year, yeah, housing's still an issue, environment's an issue, healthcare costs are an issue, electricity costs are an issue. So yeah, there's a lot to work on at the state level, and every session has its challenges, but I think there's going to be a lot more emphasis on what the states do. And you've maybe heard the states are the laboratories of democracy. And I think this is one of those moments where it's going to be really noticeable. I predict.
I think.
Yeah.
They're like Petri dishes for ideas.
Yeah. Some good.
Really? Really? I mean, some of the best federal legislation has come out of states.
Right. Yes.
In my opinion.
Yeah.
By the way, you'll understand this because you've got a law degree. The views and opinions expressed in this program are mine and those of my guests. They in no way represent the Pittsfield School Department, School Committee, Peter Marchetti in the mayor's office, Peter White in the city council, and or the person at this sub-zero temperature riding their bicycle on North Street. I applaud them for that. Yes, you get checked. The other two, we have... you know, problems with mental health. And, you know, I just applaud what you guy and gals are trying to do. I do. It's not easy. You know?
No, it's not. And you want people to have access to the care they need, to have access to the care they need affordably. It's better for them. It's better for their family. It's better for their loved one. It's better for the community. I mean, I think I've said this before, but the best dollar we spend at the state level is the dollar that saves $5 or returns $5 elsewhere, because we're doing something that is smart. And so if you're giving people mental health care access or dental care access or regular health care checkup access, you know, you're providing better outcomes at a better rate in the future. And I mean, that's,
and you're saving money.
Exactly. If you're exactly right. If you're preventing something later, you're saving everybody money.
Yeah.
It allows us to make other investments in areas that are important, you know?
Yeah. And you know, one of the things that I find that really rewarding is that at least from our delegation, they go down there and they're putting forth, for the most part, stuff that will benefit the entire Commonwealth, but also, you know, I have relatives that were born and raised and live in Southie. So they think a big trip overnight, pack, you know, bags and all that, is to Worcester.
Right.
We always had to go there. So leave it at that.
Yeah, and our delegation is changing. I mean, again for the second time in 2 years. I mean, we went from on what day was it? 2021, January 1st, 2021. I can't believe how quickly time goes by. On January, whatever, swearing in day 2021, we had four representatives and a senator, and the former senator has moved along. The representative seat that I had has essentially been eliminated, and now Representative Smitty Pignatelli is leaving, and we're going to bring in Representative-elect Lee Davis. Right. And so we've gone from five members to four, and now one of the four is changing, and she's going to have a large district. I think it's 18 city communities, and you know, there's a learning curve. Of course, she's been in town government for a while, and she's smart, and she's well everything. She's great. <Huh. laughs> So, but you still,
you know, and I know politics. A lot of what the level of respect you get, may not be right, but is by your seniority.
That's a thing I was going to say. You can be the greatest at whatever you did before, and that district is going from 22 years to zero to minute one. And you know, I'm sure we're going to be there to help her.
Sure.
Be ready for the challenge, and I have no doubt she's going to excel. But it's still a change, and it's when I got sworn in, it's a very different delegation from that. And yeah, it's.
Yeah. I won't tell you the politician, but his saying was, "I'm sworn in on the third and sworn at it the fourth."
Yeah, exactly.
Right. I mean, I always got a kick out of that. But you know, I think the state, we have the migration issue, we have the migrant issue, there's a lot of meat and potato issues.
Yeah, that's already changing. It's already starting to subside. The hotels that they had for the emergency shelter are already starting to either be closed down or have a plan. Okay. It this is the thing. It's like it flares up for, there's always a different reason, but
yeah,
it flared up in, I think, 2014. It flared up, I forget the year, and it happens. There's something usually that precipitates it, and then it adjusts. And I guess I'm honored that the Berkshires responds to these things in a really positive and productive way, in a collaborative way, which does not surprise me because we're so used to being on our own that we're always collaborative. But you know, you hear things in other communities that are a lot of finger pointing and a lot of negativity, and I'm really glad that's not who we are.
Well, you will also remember too that we come together. I've lived all over the world.
Yep.
And I can honestly tell you, the city of Pittsfield in Berkshire County, when there's a catastrophe, whether it's a sick kid, your house burns down, whatever, people come together.
Yeah.
And they raise money and furniture and clothes, whatever. Mm-hmm. And to me, you don't see that everywhere. When Roseanne and I lived in Tucson, we knew the people that lived on the right side and the left side. That was it.
Yeah.
Not to chat with, we just knew who they were.
Yeah, we're a real community. That's I think the difference.
That's a perfect term. Yes, you should go into law school.
I should be public facing in some capacity.
Yeah.
He's public voice.
Yeah. And you know, I mean, we have issues. We're not perfect. No one's perfect. But at least now we got a DA DA Shigru facing issues. Got retail theft squads, diversion. Mm-hmm. We got chiefs in all the towns and cities that are out there doing it every day. I can't say enough for Chief Dolly here in Pittsfield. And you know, they're just, it seems as though we're becoming more cohesive. Is that my senility, and believe me, I before I parked the car. So
I think that's true. And again, I try not to ever be like an echo chamber that I think like, well, we're just rah, rah, rah.
I'm not rah, rah, rah. We're coming together to admit and deal with problems. Housing for one, And Marchetti and that crew doing what they're doing, the silly city council. I call them silly council sometimes. But I just have that feeling, and I'm judging that by what I see in the rest of the on TV and the rest of the country.
Yes. Yeah, yeah, yeah. Even the fire just now in Great Barrington, like the firefighters, and that's all volunteer people, I hope.
Yeah, that's right.
Yeah, you know, took days and hours and overnights to just make sure everyone was safe.
Heroes.
Yeah, exactly.
That's a hero. The person who does that, volunteers to fight fires or firefight. My dad was a firefighter. They're here. Mm-hmm. Anybody who runs into fire, be it a forest or a burning building, is a hero and needs help. No, I mean, they are heroes.
I could not hear you just now.
Oh, I said anybody. Oh, okay. Am I off?
Oh, no. There you are. Yeah, I hear you now.
Yeah. No, I say anybody who runs into a burning building or a forest is the hero.
Yeah, I would say so.
My father wanted me to be a fireman, and I said, Dad. First of all, I don't like to get up in the middle of the night at sub-zero temperatures and go out and fight fires.
Right.
And second of all, something different about people who run into burning buildings.
I was at a retirement event in Dalton for fire department, and the chief at the time was so nervous to speak. And I got up and I said, I think the chief is as nervous to speak as I would be to run into a building on fire.
Yeah. Which I mean, we too often do not recognize those real heroes, the EMS, the police that answer. Being a former police officer, seeing and experiencing some things, it's been a long time, still haunt me.
Yeah.
I mean, I every Christmas night, I think back to a situation I had. The house had no heat. The kids were sitting in gloves and coats and mittens, no tree, no presents. And there was alcohol and drugs involved. But I always thank my parents for at Christmas Eve for bringing us up the way they did. And my family, you know.
Mm-hmm.
Not everybody lives a storybook life.
No, you're so right on that again. And I know I talk sometimes about like finances being a challenge in my family.
Yeah. Yeah.
Thank God, you know, love wasn't and normalcy wasn't and hard work and trying wasn't an issue. And yeah, I think about that a lot. I was able to take a couple of days and do something with my mother around the time of my what would have been my father's birthday.
Oh, good.
That was you know, really special. I think to her, it was to me. It meant a lot to me. I think it would have meant a lot to him. And it just makes you think of that in spite of the challenges we face, like how normal, and I use that word loosely, how even keeled I ended up. And it's a big thing. And even when I worked at the phone company, you'd go in to people's houses, like, you know, their phone went down when people had real phones, and you'd show up and they didn't prep for you. And like some of the things you'd see is like, wow, you don't realize how lucky you are until you walk in someone else's shoes, you know?
Is me, St. Louis mother would say, here but for the grace of God go I.
Exactly.
And boy, the more you've seen it, let me just say this, in regards to your dad, in regards to your mom, who, by the way, said you'd be on the show today, I called her.
And I was relatively fine.
You better be able to be spending Christmas in the cold. But no, all kidding aside, they raised a wonderful person. And, and you know, there were times in our house, too, that, you know, thank God we had a guy by the name of Bart Drury. He ran a butcher shop, and he knew that some people got paid every 2 weeks, so he kept a slip.
Hmm.
One of the first things that my mother, as soon as my dad got his check, his cash, she'd give me the money and say, walk up and pay Bart Drury.
Hmm. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
But you know what that taught me? Pay your debts.
Yeah, 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 exactly, yeah. Right.
And Money doesn't grow on trees, you know?
Right.
So, but these are things that we, as we approach this new year, folks, please just remember, if you're warm and you're in your house and you got shelter and food, you're ahead of some other people.
Oh, yeah. 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 And around the country, around the world.
Yes, everywhere. And around Massachusetts. Around, yeah. Ready? You sitting down, everybody? Berkshire County, Pittsfield.
Yeah.
I saw some people today freezing cold with all their belongings in a grocery cart walking down the street.
Yeah, and rural poverty, I think, is often overlooked and forgotten. And I think that's a big piece of why some of the political stuff that's happening in other parts of the country is happening, because it's really easy to think, well, they live in that pretty area, so everybody there is doing great. It's like we're one of the three poorest counties in this state, and I never forget that, and I try to make sure that Boston never forgets that, because it is easy to think poverty looks one way, and it doesn't. It looks a lot of ways. You know, and it hurts everyone the same.
It's so interesting. Like, even now, another one I'll throw at you, because you'll do something with it eventually. And I don't mean eventually kiddingly. I mean it. Everybody's talking about Massachusetts and Pittsfield and Berkshire County. They're aging communities. Great. What are you doing about it? You know, I mean, I give Peter Marchetti in the city council, they've got this shovel your sidewalk thing and all that. And for people who can't, they'll team you up with somebody. That's great. You know, because you got to remember, a lot of these people shovel these sidewalks for 50, 60 years. And right now they just can't. But I mean, as far as more handicapped parking, I was at Big Lots in Walmart. Right. Mm-hmm. Paul, I got the last handicapped parking space, and it was Big Lots.
Huh.
So they're being used, you know, and if we're an aging community, that kind of equates with people getting handicapped parking stickers.
Yeah. Yeah. No, that's a very good point. And we are definitely an aging region for sure.
Yeah. And you know, the automatic doors, they don't seem, you know, I mean, I just hope that everybody's on top of those, because they really do help. They, especially like now I got a cane, and if I'm carrying anything, you know, it's, but, and I don't want to belabor that, but we, you know, what's your hope for the new year?
No, my hope is that people work together, that people think about the things we're talking about, that they think about what community means, that they think about how they can be helpful and maybe less complaining and less more solutions, more trying to think in a community-minded manner, and maybe less thinking that everything you see on one of these little videos on social media is real, asking more questions, and, you know, just when I think of community, it means like, how do I help and serve the least person among us? And, you know, I think it was Sergeant Shriver maybe that said, you know, you judge a society by what we do for the people that need, are most in need. So,
yeah. And I can tell you my experience at working at UCP of Western Mass and seeing people who are grateful to just be helped into their car.
Right.
You know, here, but for the grace of God, go I. And you know, Paul, and I don't say this kiddingly, although I do kid you a lot, you have contributed so much to the Commonwealth, but to all the people in the Commonwealth, especially those in your district, from the time you were a state rep until now. And I just hope you stay with it. You know, I really do. And again, a credit to your parents. They raised a great guy.
Well, thank you. Thank you very much. And I thank the people of the district for giving me a 2-year renewal on doing this. So I, you know, it means a lot to me every time that someone goes out there and thinks, I trust him to to be my voice. I mean, that's what the region is saying, is we trust you to get us the best deal in Boston, that, you know, you're there working for us and that you have our best interests in heart. And I don't take that lightly. And it's like your family.
Yeah.
It's like a loved one. I don't know that we say it to each other enough that no. I really appreciate what this means. Like this is beyond just something I thought when I was a kid. Oh, that looks fun on TV. Like this, to actually be able to do it, to actually work in this field, to actually be fairly decent at it, apparently, none of this exists except that the people of this area choose me. And I said, you know, I can't express what it actually feels like inside, but what it feels like is like, I owe you. that's what it feels like. It's a duty, and that's what you get from me, and that's what I'll always give. And thank you.
Well, here's the thing though, how many of you, and I don't want to, but there's several, I'm making this statement, there are people who don't realize that in elected office. Mm-hmm. They think it's about them and their next election. And really, deferring to our good friend, still state representative, at least till January, Smitty Pignatelli, if you work for the people every day, you don't have to worry about election day. You're a living example of that.
Yeah, thank you. That makes sense. And you say it, Tip O'Neill, all politics is local.
Yeah.
Conti, like that's what it's about, is if you're not doing that, why are you doing it? Why are you here? You
know? That's exactly what dog do you have in this fight? Is it just so that you're on, you know, CNN or
right
BC or whatever? And you know, I defer to our mutual friend, I'm pretty sure, Congressman Richie Neal. Mm-hmm. I don't think he's ever been on a Sunday morning program.
Oh, wow. That's interesting. Probably not.
Yep. I don't think so. I'll double check, but yeah. I'm pretty sure that's factual.
Right.
And the other weird thing is he comes home almost every weekend.
Right.
When I was on the Hill, there were guys that didn't, they had their apartment there and they stay there.
Right.
And when are we going to get civility? And I don't mean Massachusetts, believe me. We need to get civility back in politics.
Ugh. Yeah, that's a big thing. We saw a little bit of that this last week with that almost shutdown. And, you know, they find a way to do it in the end. But I wish it wasn't such a
bloodbath.
Yeah. Like I really hate the idea that there's people that go to work and they're worried that, all right, I have to start working on Sunday for no pay. Like that's
all just, right. Yeah.
That's not fair.
Yeah. Or veterans won't get their benefits or social security. You know, a lot of the people putting that out know it's malarkey.
Yeah. Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
I mean, I guess I'm on this kick. You'll have to excuse me, mm-hmm. but I don't think you're far behind me. Let's mm-hmm. be good to each other. Begin nothing by making enemies. You know, if you're not talking to your brother, call your brother tonight. I can't call mine.
Right.
He's gone.
Right.
But we talk 2-3 times a week. My sister, we almost talk almost every day. You know, we realize life isn't infinite.
Yeah. Yeah. No, life is not infinite. And yeah, let them, in the spirit of the season, let people that you care about know that you care about it. And that's why I'm actually thankful that you let me say, I do appreciate being entrusted with this job. It
I know
it means a lot. And if there's ever a day it doesn't, I won't run again. You know what I mean? I think people don't think like that either, that it's something about like winning. It's something about holding a title. No, that's not what's important to me. What's important to me is being there and doing the job. I think I said that way back is
yeah.
I'm running.
No, you did. You said you, and I paraphrase.
Yeah.
When you were on the show, you said, well, I want to be elected because I want to go and represent. You ready for this? This is weird. The people.
I want the job, not the title.
I almost fell off the chair.
Exactly.
Where'd you come up with that concept? What are you, losing your mind?
Maybe.
Well, all I can tell you, my friend, and I mean that you are a friend and you are an elected official, and I respect you for that. But I think in these times, we need more people like you who show your humanity. Mm-hmm. I don't need some slickly polished person telling me what they're going to do and then a year later telling me why they couldn't do it.
Well, if you've seen me, you're not getting slickly polished.
I didn't want to say that. Your mother asked me not to say it. She said that she still hates the beard with the gray in it now.
Well, the thing is, like, I may actually at some point have to get rid of it. Cause...
Me too. I keep telling everybody, it's not gray, it's blonde. What's wrong with these people? Last words to the people, and then I'll let you go.
Oh, well, have a very happy new year. Have a great holiday season. And again, you know, thank you. On January 1st, I will take the oath of office again as your senator, as our senator. And it's an amazing responsibility and an amazing duty. And I'm grateful. And as always, we do roving office hours in the Berkshires, in North Adams, Dalton, Pittsfield, and Great Barrington. We are available by email, by website, by telephone. You know, if you have an issue, please reach out. I will ask people social media less, because I personally, and you mentioned Anthony does communications. So I'm personally not like on the Facebook thing anymore. So if you're in need, email is the best way to get me personally. And then the office phone is the best way to get the a hold of the staff. And thank you. May we all be there at the end of the next year. May this be the best year yet. And happy new year,
and happy new year to you and yours. And thank you for what you do, not only for me but for all your constituents. Don't change, don't let them corrupt you down there, and that get down there at Charles River. Make sure you shower before you come home. Don't be bringing it. But all kidding aside, thank you. And I mean that from the bottom of my heart, especially for the Hero Act, but also all that you do. And I didn't want to get into all of it today. I wanted it to be more of a light show going in. But next time we're going to talk about a lot of the bills that you sponsored for transportation and food. I think those are important. And boy, I'll tell you, whatever you guys did to get food all the time, thank you for that, because that's making a huge difference in a lot of kids' lives.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Awesome. So, thank you.
Without further ado, happy new year. And I'll be reaching out to you in January to after you get sworn in. I'll be reaching out to – no, I won't swear at you. But I will – get you back on, and you can tell us what's on the agenda for 20, if you can believe it, 2025.
Sounds good.
All right. And to your whole family, happy new year. Thanks, Paul. Be well. The only thing I would say is, if you're going to keep the beard, get some Grecian. Okay. Bye-bye. Happy new year. Thank you. Thanks to all the listeners. God bless. Remember, let's take care of each other. Why? Very simple. Each other. That's all we have. Think about it. Talk to you soon. Bye-bye, Paul. Keep on, keep on.